We welcome in the host of College Game Day, football, basketball, Reese Davis. Reese, first of all, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Well, I'm glad to be with you. I'm really looking forward to being back in State College in the whiteout on Saturday night. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I know when Jack Ham and I broadcast Penn State games, we always talk about each game takes on its own personality. In some ways, does game day each week take on its own personality, and what does the venue mean to that personality?
Well, we look at the crowd that shows up in the venue as almost being either the fifth or, if we're five wide on the set, sixth member of the group. It's part of the show. And, you know, it really gives us a lot of energy to have a tremendous crowd in a great setting. Now, I thought that last year during the pandemic that our group, not only on the air but behind the scenes, did a great job in putting the show together, and we had a really strong product in my judgment. But when I would go back and review the shows, the soundtrack was missing. The atmosphere was missing, you know, from having a show in an empty stadium. And I think that when you have tremendous crowds, as we've had the last 2 weeks, we had the best neutral side crowd that we've ever had in my 7 years on the show in Charlotte for Georgia Clemson. And then the scene last week before the Iowa State game in Ames was just off the charts. And I expect that given the great crowds we've had at Penn State in the past, it'll be the same. And I think that it does. It doesn't make us perform better. It doesn't change what we're going to say. But I do think that there's a genuine energy that comes through, hopefully through the camera and into people's living rooms at home, that entices them to stick around, to see what's going to happen with the crowd, to see how the crowd's going to react, to feel the energy of that show. So I agree. It does. It's not that the shows are bad if you wind up a place that you've been, been very often at an odd time, and maybe the crowd's not as numerous as you'd like, but or not as many people in there as you'd like. But when you have a great one, there's no doubt it certainly can take on a great characteristic.
You do a lot of, obviously, your own research to get ready for this because you're to be honest, you're seamless for 3 hours sitting in that chair. I just have to get ready for two teams every week and one I'm around every single day. What does it take for you to make sure in a 3 hour you're well informed on each team that you personally talk about, and how much help do you get in that preparation?
Well, you're right. Most of it you have to do. You have to do the work.
Yes.
You know, but I do have a great research staff. Our stats and information group is, you know, just tremendous, and I have a researcher, Marissa Dowling, who's been with us a couple of years, and she's worked with me in basketball, and she's amazing. And she does that. And, of course, we have, even though Chris Velika is not per se just a researcher, the bear has evolved into, into something more than that.
Yeah.
You always have Chris's institutional knowledge that you can bounce ideas off of, and, who might be able to, he does, he makes suggestions about the content of the show more so than, maybe my individual preparation. But you have people to aid that and support it, and people to ask questions of, and I think that the best way to describe it is just sort of a lifestyle. I love this sport. David Pollack and I do a podcast, and Pollack's been laughing at me because I told a story on the podcast about remembering watching the 1971 game of the century between Oklahoma and Nebraska. And I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
But I remember watching the game.
Yep.
And what it meant and different things like that. So I have a lifelong relationship and passion for college football. So there's part of it that there's an institutional knowledge, but you do have to do the work each week to make sure what storylines are for teams that you're talking about, because it's not just, it's not just a tape I might be doing. If Desmond is doing one or Kirk is doing something and they say something and I might want to challenge it, or I might want to disagree with it. And I'm not talking about disagreeing with things like the proper footwork for a receiver to get his release. I'm not going to challenge Desmond on that. But Desmond and I can argue all day about whether a certain quarterback should be playing, whether a coach should have gone for it on fourth down, whether they should have gone for it instead of kicking a field goal. You know, I mean, those are reasonable debates that you have to be ready for, or, you know, or if you think a certain team is going to win, the other one's not because, you know, maybe he thinks their defensive line's weak, and I think it's great. You know, I mean, you know, those are sort of overly simplistic examples, but I think you follow what I mean. You have to have a functional knowledge of as many teams as possible. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend to you that I can quote you the two deep on all 130 teams. I can't.
God, no.
But you know, you have to have a real functional knowledge of as many teams as possible, and a lot of that preparation starts in the off season, and you try to stay on, and I'm not sure how old you are.
Oh, no.
You try to stay on that George Jetson treadmill.
Yeah.
You know, the one he has to run on, or he's going to fall and get sucked under.
Yep.
Once the season starts, you try to keep up by staying on that thing.
I was 13 for the game of the century in 71. Okay.
Okay. All right. So you remember it well.
Yes, I do.
You know, I didn't use this on the podcast, but actually in a text when Pollock and I really, really tight. Just busted my chops a little bit, and I said, "Davey, here's one that'll even really let you know how old I am." As you probably, I don't know if you know this or not, I went to school at Alabama, grew up an Alabama fan.
Yeah, right.
And 1971, there was also, it wasn't game of the century, but a battle of unbeaten at the end of the season between Alabama and Auburn.
Right.
Pat Sullivan from Auburn had won the Heisman Trophy, and the woman who was my babysitter, she and her husband were both Auburn alums, and she was really letting me have it. You know, that's the way it is in Alabama. You tease a five-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
So I finally told her I would bet her whatever she wanted. And somehow she came up with the sum of 35 cents, and I bet her on that game. And now this was a problem because gambling or of any sort, even that, was frowned upon in the Davis household, so I was scared.
Yep.
But I won the bet, and the winners played. Alabama and Nebraska played. Nebraska pummeled Alabama in the Orange Bowl, and the losers played in the Sugar Bowl. And Oklahoma did about the same thing to Pat Sullivan and Auburn in the Sugar Bowl on New Year's Day too.
What do you remember what you did with the 35 cents?
I don't, but I just one of my clearest memories is, you know, you have these weird little snippets of memory.
Yeah.
You know, my mom dropped me off at her house on the following Monday morning before she went to work. And just such a wonderful woman. Her name was Linda Aldridge.
Yeah.
And she was standing at the door waiting on me and handed me my 35 cents and gave me a big hug.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I remember it was pitch dark outside because my mom was leaving for work. My dad was already gone to work.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember that scene.
You talked about the ability to challenge or to draw out information. How about that? From, you know, when asking the right questions. How long did it take you in that host role to really understand the strengths that you could go to each person on the set and areas that you knew if you went there, you weren't going to get the best answer?
I don't know exactly how long it took, but I've got great guys I work with. And I've been doing this thing for a long time, as you know. And even dating back to the days when I was, you know, with Mark May and Trev Alberts in the studio, even before that with Rod Gilmore and John McAvoy, you know, way back in the day, one of the things that has to happen is that you have to establish credibility, and maybe a better way to put it is establish trust.
Yes.
With the people that you're on the set with. And when you establish that trust, they know that you're not trying to play gotcha. They know that you're not trying to make them look bad. And so they, you know, they are willing to be challenged. Now, I have worked with a few analysts who aren't willing to be challenged.
Right.
Not very long, to be honest.
Right.
But the good ones always are. The great ones especially are. And, you know, Jay Billis and I are starting to, I think we've probably passed Mark May and me for one of the longest running television,
right. Sure.
You know, host deals. We've been together a long time.
Yeah.
And I've worked together, you know, 16 years on game day and 3 or 4 years before that. So we're right around 20 years. There's no smarter guy in television. And yet he Jay always says reasonable minds can differ, but I'm right. He's not going to cede his position easily, but he is confident and strong enough and trusts me enough. He's willing to be challenged. Same thing with Kirk and Desmond and David. And I think, part of the deal with Pollock and me is that we worked together in the booth also on Thursday night for a number of years. And really, I learned from him. That guy is so smart about X's and O's and gets so excited. Like, he was breaking down in the kitchen area of our conference room with me. He was showing me something he had learned, a wrinkle that Chip Kelly had put in his running game and the past, going into this season. So excited to share that. I look at, Kirk is very much like, they're very different personally, and they're very different in approach, but Kirk is very much like Jay in that you don't have to tell him what's coming. he's got everything covered, and his instincts on the set are great. So I think I've given you a really long-winded answer, and I apologize for that, but it's really about trust and a non-former player, but beyond being a sorry high school player's role, you've got to establish a little trust with them and let them know that not in a bragging kind of way or a haughty kind of way, but you've got to let them know that you're working at it. That you have an institutional, functional knowledge that allows you to question them. Then they have to have the trust that when you question them or challenge them, you're not doing it to try to pants them. You're doing it to make them, or better yet, make the show better.
And this is something, there's a broadcasting class, sports broadcasting class I teach at Penn State. And because I broadcast the games with Jack Ham and then basketball with Dick Girardi, who's a friend of Bears, by the way, I always tell them one of the most more important aspects of the job is, you're the play-by-play guy, but listening. Because I'm going to learn something from Jack every week on the game. So I've got to listen. I've got to learn something from Dick in basketball every week. You need to listen. And it sounds like that's a key part of your job, listening to the people you're working with.
You have to, because it needs to be conversational. And if you're just waiting to get in your next fact or call the next play or get to your next lead.
Yes.
Now, there are times, in a 3-hour show when the producer's like, we're 7 minutes heavy. You've got to move it. And by the way, that's not unusual with us, because I'm a fan of the movie Old Brother, Where Art Thou? And I use this term a lot. All of us have been endowed with the gift of gab. So we will, we'll get heavy sometimes, and you have to let it go.
Yeah.
But it needs to be conversational, and to have a conversation, you have to listen.
I know I'm running heavy with you, so I'll just one last question. I really appreciate your time. Have you started to establish what themes you want to work with this week?
You mean in terms of just the Penn State Auburn game or overall?
Maybe overall. I think, because I already know what one of them is. I know one of them's the whiteout because Gene's doing that. But I mean, but just overall.
I think one of the overall themes, I think, really plays into the Penn State Auburn game. And I'm not as into this whole one conference better than another one thing, but you can't ignore it, because it makes up the bulk of the schedules of the contenders. So, if you get in a hole, as Ohio State has, for instance, right? If Penn State beats Auburn, then there's another opportunity for a really big game. And obviously, if Michigan continues to play well, another one, and so on. But if Auburn wins the game, a team that is perceived to be upper middle class of the SEC, maybe middle class or upper middle class, depending on how they play.
Mm-hmm.
If they beat Penn State in Happy Valley, in a whiteout, Saturday night game, and they come in and win, third game under their new coach, then it really hurts. Like, I think if you get teams in a cluster at the end of the season and you're evaluating them and what they've done, you look at what they look like on tape and then you evaluate what they've done, it's going to be a little bit harder to really impress anybody in the Big Ten from what you've done. You know, and that's not a be-all, end-all, so I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying it's a factor, you know? And it's sort of the same thing with Michigan State, Miami, almost working both ways. You know?
Yes.
Miami loses again. You know, what do you make of the ACC? And if Michigan State loses to Miami, who hasn't looked great, another, you know, little issue for the Big Ten. So I think there are some themes like that can be big picture. And then, you know, some of them are you just have opportunities to prove yourself. Cincinnati at Indiana, a real chance to prove itself. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are some of the things we're working on this week.
Great respect. True pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you. Have a great call.